settled.
Yeah.
Okay, we'd like to call the meeting to order. Mr. Crawford, could you please lead us in the pledge?
My pleasure. Could you please rise, move your hats, put us over your hearts, and follow after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
We do have a couple of items in closed session to report. The board, by roll call vote of 5-4-1 against, passed resolution number 2018-19/20, non-reelection of probationary certificate employees, and authorizes the superintendent or her designee to issue the proper notices. Voting for the resolution were members Mr. Allison, Mr. Fleury, Mr. Boom, Mr. Davis, Mr. Rasmussen. Voting against the resolution were members Ms. Scott. The other item, the board, by roll call vote of 6-4-1 against, passed resolution number 18-19/21. Release non-reelection of temporary, including probationary zero, certificate employees, and authorize the superintendent or her designee to issue the proper notices. Voting for the resolution were members Mr. Allison, Mr. Boom, Mr. Davis, Mr. Fleury, Mr. Rasmussen, Ms. Scott. Voting against the resolution were members Mr. Crawford. Looks as though our student representative is not here tonight. Next on our agenda, we have our school report, Johnson Park Elementary. Mr. Kovach.
Thank you very much for having me here tonight. It's a pleasure to be in front of the school board tonight and our guests. We have students, many staff and parents from Johnson Park here, as well as the other guests in the audience. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I'm John Kovach. I'm the principal. This is my second year at Johnson Park Elementary School. And I'm going to go through a bunch of stuff that I believe is exciting and what is happening. And obviously, we have a lot of staff here in support, and they're going to be doing some sharing as well. So we're going to go ahead and go right into a presentation. We have something here. We're going to go over some good information about what's happening in our school culture, as well as some data with what our students are doing and how well they're performing. First of all, this year was a great year to start. We have a really good staff. Our staff is working hard. The PLC training this last summer was very exciting for the 9 members who went. We have another 8 or 9 going this summer, so I'm looking forward to that growth from those members as well. We only had 3 new hires this year, and that was a wonderful change. When I came in here last year, I had to hire 7 new teachers to start, and that's a lot of change. So only 3 changes, and those were, very easy to take this year. It blended right in with the team. We had 1 new yard duty supervisor, and it's a celebration when you have such little change in a school site. That consistency is really important. Next up are Johnson Park students. We are around 400 students last year. When I first arrived a year and a half ago, we had 328 students. We are at 397 today. And the number kind of fluctuates, maybe just over 4 and just under 4. And just over, we keep going that back and forth thing. We have 2 new classes that we created this year to accommodate our bubble group. Our first grader is a huge group of kids, so we had to add a new first grade class. And then we have a 5-6 combo that grew out of the growth this year. A lot of sixth graders coming in as well. Our goals for academics this year were to raise our academic scores. This is our CASP scores, STAR, anything that relates to our main core subjects. Increase our comprehension. We're focusing a lot on reading. Increase student effort. Sometimes some of that lack of performance results in lack of student effort, and we want to really motivate the kids, give them a reason as to why and where they're going, and hopefully they'll take it upon themselves to really learn and put in the most effort possible. And then we wanted to improve our PLC practice. That's taking about half the staff this last summer and half this coming summer is a huge part of that. And then to continue professional development, PLC is just one piece. We also are doing SIPs, which is phonological awareness training. We do PBIS trainings. We do lots of stuff to help support our staff members. So our school performance results. So we're looking at our CAS results from last year. If you look at the English language arts, we maintained. We went down 2.4. That is considered maintaining. Very little change. From the year before, we had declined almost 10%. From 2 years ago to last year, there was a decline of 10. This year, we just barely declined. So I think we're going to be going in the upswing for next year. In our mathematics, we also maintained. We went down just 2 points. It was a similar amount from the year before, around 10%, and this last year was 2. And our English language learners are making very good progress. Our school performance results in our chronic absenteeism and suspension rate. Well, we did increase in our chronic absenteeism last year. This year, I ran the numbers, and currently we have decreased chronic absenteeism from the 9.4 to 7.0. We are currently 7.0, so our absenteeism has decreased, which we want to celebrate and keep improving upon. Our suspension rate did go up last year. There was a lot of stuff, you know, when you have certain incidents, you do have to suspend. And this year, I can tell you right now, we are probably half of what we had last year. So it's very encouraging. And PBIS is a big part of that reduction in suspension rates, creating a positive environment on campus. So we're increasing our level of rigor in instruction. We're continuing to improve and increase our technological usage. The amount of technology available to our staff members is wonderful, and making sure that they understand and know how to use it correctly and efficiently for their students is really important. Part of that is Alexia program for reading. This is a program we introduced last year, and it is doing very well. I have some data to share with you on that in a moment. We're using our district curriculum, continuing to expand and work on improving our PLC process. PLC process is an awesome program. I love what it's done to our staff. I love what it's doing to learning with our teachers. And part of that is our response to intervention. Our intervention programs are doing really, really well right now. That's our RTI. We also have after-school tutoring, and then we have our SIPS interventions. That's the phonological program we introduced last year. We have a big training coming up, getting all our paras and any interested teachers trained up to speed so they can, you know, use the functions of the SIPS program more fully. The PLC process. So last year, I've talked about this a couple times, but we provided training for 9 staff members. They went last summer. This summer, at the end of July, again, 8 or 9 more staff members will be attending. That'll be almost all of our teachers on staff will have attended the PLC process. I'm really excited about that. Our team is just going to continue to fly. The team's using their PLC minimum days to plan their RTI, their response to intervention. They level their groups according to STAR reading and math, Lexia scores, their common formative assessments, SIPS programs, assessments, curricular assessments, and all this data is used to guide their instruction. Our PLC teams have been organized into following groupings. Our K-1 is a PLC team. Second and third grade is a team. 4, 5, 6 is a team. Now, they do meet in individual grade levels as well, but when they meet in the large team scheme, when they're planning their RTI and other events, they work in those groupings that you see there. We're going to continue to celebrate the growth and continue this movement we've seen this year, and they're celebrating every day. I get data shared with me, but from staff, and our kids are growing. Let's keep this process moving, and let's keep celebrating each other. I'm going to invite a couple of our teachers, Mr. Gag and Ms. McKenna, to come up and talk about the PLC process.
I'd like to ask the entire 4, 5, 6 team to come on up and stand with us. They're all a part of this. Good evening. My name is Jeevan Gag. I'm a fourth grade teacher at Johnson Park. These wonderful people standing beside me make up our 4, 5, 6 PLC team. Shua Tao, fourth grade teacher. Minu Paul, we are very thankful for her tonight to be here. It's her 34th wedding anniversary, but she chose to share it with us. Tina Lavelle, 5-6 combo. Emily McKinnon, sixth grade. My brother, Jesus Rivas, sixth grade, and Mrs. Russett, RSP. Over the summer, Johnson Park had the opportunity to attend the Professional Learning Community Conference in San Antonio. The conference consisted of many speakers that are current educational leaders and have personal experience in student achievement. We left the conference with a fresh understanding of what a PLC should be and an excitement to teach our new fellow teachers what we learned. Prior to the first day of school, our 4th through 6th grade team met. We discussed what the most important standard at each level is and used those standards to help drive our decisions about instruction. At the meeting, we decided to have each student take the STAR reading test. During the first week of school, each student completed the STAR reading test, which tells us each student's reading level. After school that same day, we met again as a group with each student's printed test results. We started by grouping students based on their reading levels into 10 groups. It's about, where are we at on student count? About half the school. And we sorted all these results out. Next, we assigned a staff member to each group. And lastly, we decided to start with standards RI1 and RL1, making inferences. And Emily will discuss the rest of the groupings.
So we have 10 groups, and the first two groups we have are designated English learner groups, so that they can get that designated time in during the day. Then we have two intensive groups for the students who are really struggling. After that, we have about four groups who are close to level, but not quite there yet. And then at this point, we have about two enrichment groups that are at or above level. Each staff member, we have 10 groups, and the nice part is, because we have six classes but 10 groups, we can really focus on those groups that are struggling. They only have about 6 to 12 kids in their group, so they can really get the help that they need. The higher groups have more kids, but they're already getting that enrichment, so they're already at where they need to be. Let's see. So we call this our JET time, and it stands for JET's Engaged in Thinking Time. So that's what we've called it. So for 35 minutes of targeted instruction each day, we all taught the same standards, RI1 and RL1, at various scaffolded levels of instruction based on student needs. All groups used the same common academic language and took the same common assessments. Upon meeting after 6 weeks and assessing our first set of standards, we were able to see a pleasingly high amount of growth across the board. We have continued this process for 3 rounds now, retesting students at each stop. We have now completed and assessed 6 major standards, seeing high levels of growth in all classes. Not only have we seen our students grow academically, we have also been able to get to know many different students that we normally wouldn't see on a daily basis. Students also get to interact academically with students from other classes. In my group, I have one of the enrichment groups right now, and it's a really cool thing that I get to see, because I teach 6th grade, so I pretty much only see my kids, and I'm new this year, so I don't know a lot of the kids yet. Well, I do now, but at the beginning of the year, I didn't. And it's really cool to have 4th graders, 5th graders, and 6th graders in my room for 35 minutes a day, because I know I'm going to see those 4th and 5th graders in the next couple years, so it's really cool. Our JET time has added to having a more positive atmosphere in grades 4 through 6 at our school, and it's a really cool thing. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you very much, and thank you all for being here and willing to help and show and talk about what you're doing. It's awesome to watch and see. Our second and third grade team, as well as our kindergarten and first grade team, are doing basically the same type of processes. They use this data, they meet in teams, and they assign their kids to groups accordingly, and they do intervention. For the kindergarten through third grade, you're doing 3 days of intervention per week, in addition to like SIPS groups, because that's the early intervention, reading literacy, getting into Lexia. And kids are, even in kindergarten, they can operate computers, and they can learn, and they can work, and they can do better. And that's what we're seeing in all of our PLC groups. So I'm extremely happy for that. Some of the data to share. This is our STAR reading data from the beginning of this year to this point. I just pulled up STAR reading, not the early literacy results. So our average increase in second grade was 0.7. That's about 7 months of the year increase in 6 months. That's the average. I see kids that are making a little bit of growth. I see kids that are making 2 to 3 years of growth, and that's at all grade levels. There is amazing things happening. Our third graders are 0.4 grade equivalency growth. Same for fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade, both are at 0.5, and that's for reading. When we pull up our math data, we see a second grade at 0.7 increase. That's awesome. Third grade and fourth grade are both at 0.3. Fifth grade has a huge jump, 0.8. They've done almost a full year of growth so far this year as an average. Again, we have kids that are making 2 to 3 years of growth at this point in time. It is a beauty to see. It's because of this process these awesome teachers are doing every day. The Lexia Reading Program, I brought this to you a little bit last year. We talked about it, but we're continuing that. We have kids that are making huge amounts of growth. A lot of our grade levels are looking for 100 minutes of participation in the Lexia Program, and this helps teach comprehension. is in intuitive software. The program recognizes where kids are excelling and drives up that path, or recognizes if they're having a hard time, and it will lower the difficulty and target exactly where they're finding their struggles. So you can see our Alexia data. The two main bars up towards the top, it says the start. There's a long gray bar. It's 71% of our students were below grade level, 28% were at grade level, and 1% were above. Today, when I pulled the data, we are only 30% below, 38% below grade level, 43 are at grade level, and 20% are now performing above grade level in the Alexia program. That reading comprehension trick is starting to work, and you're seeing that in both their math and language arts on their STAR data as well. All right, so for school culture, our goals for this year were to increase our positive culture. Our PBIS is everywhere. We see it, we talk about it, we tweak it, we work it, we celebrate with kids, we try to make it a huge part of our culture. We celebrate as much of our successes as we can. We're always building relationships. We want to increase our attendance through PBIS and other means, exciting activities at school. We want to reduce those problem behaviors because kids can stay in school because we know if they get suspended or have a hard time in school, when they come back, they're just that much further behind, and we don't want to see them not attend school at all. And then we want to increase our community involvement. And at this time, I'd like to invite Margie Evangelista to come up. This is one of our awesome parents. She's also a school site council chair, and she's going to share a few words for herself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Margie Evangelista. I am on the school site council as a parent for parents and slash grandparents. To everything that's going on right now at the school, I have been very pleased since I've been involved. I mean, I've always been involved, but I'm involved more now. And with all the decision making and things that are going, for this school, it's all been very positive. A lot of it, the principal, the teachers, to me, they're all tens because of the fact how involved they are with the kids. They're all on the same page. They're all there for the kids, and that was my main concern. And, I really have, I've had a really good, positive feeling with the school now, to where before I was kind of hesitant. There was a lot of stuff going on that shouldn't have gone on. But now it's changed so much that you could see the real difference in the kids, and you could see the difference on how the teachers work with each other. You know, they're on the same page. They're trying to help each other. They're, bringing up, between all of them, they're gathering their information to help each other, to help the kids, because that's what they're there for. And that's what I wanted to say, because, like I say, I'm very pleased with what the principal has done and the teachers, how they interact with each other and the things that they do and the decision-making, that it's very positive, and I'm really glad to see the change in the school, the positive change in the school, whether it's attendance, attitude, education, anything that, I had issues with. I don't feel like I have them anymore because of the fact that, not to say just because I'm involved, that's not the point. I just wanted to see the change, and believe me, there has been a great change with all of them. Because of the fact that they are together, they're all on the same page, and, they're trying to make the school better, the kids better, and the whole, nine yards. So to me, I've been pleased, and I am pleased with all the teachers, how they teach and how they, treat the kids and everything. And, that's basically what I wanted to say, that, everything is for the kids, and the changes that have been made, they're all positive. Okay, thank you.
All right, make sure we didn't skip anything. Okay, so our school culture. Now, some of our student activities that happen include our student council, which is very active. In a moment, I'll have Amelia and Cynthia come up. They have a little thing they'd like to share with you as well. Our recess rangers, those are our older students who are sixth graders, sometimes fifth graders, who work on the playground during the recesses when first, second, and third graders out there, just to kind of give them tips on how to manage games when rules are broken and they don't know how to deal with it and they lose their temper. So the recess rangers are out there helping guide kids on the playground. Our traffic crew continues to work out front, maybe not so much on rainy days. We don't want the kids to get soaking wet during traffic like today, but you can see a picture from earlier on where it was nice, beautiful day, and the kids are out there monitoring traffic, helping kids get their stuff either to or from school. Campus beautification is a constant. Kids, for some reason, really love cleaning up the school. They just like doing it. Hey, who wants to help go clean up? I do. Maybe because they don't want to be in class. I don't know. But it works out. So our school looks pretty good. And then we have our partnerships with Lyndhurst High School, and that includes the cadet program where Lyndhurst High School students walk over and they work in classrooms with kids and teachers to provide extra support. And then we've also brought the ROTC over to help out with our Veterans Day and do their Flag Day ceremony as well to kind of educate our older students. So that's been awesome. So let me go ahead and invite Amelia and Cynthia up, and they're going to talk about student council.
Good evening, board members, teachers, and administrators, parents, fellow students, and community members. Thank you for the opportunity to share what we have done so far this year in student council. My name is Amelia, and this is Cynthia, and we are both in the fourth grade at Johnson Park Elementary School.
This year, the Student Council has put on many events for the students and staff. For Red Ribbon Week, we had dress-up days and held a door decorating contest. In November, we held a food drive and were able to collect enough food to help families in need.
For Valentine's Day, we sold Valentine grams, and we made a bag for each teacher filled with notes written by students, fellow staff members, and families. They were very excited to receive the kind, thoughtful notes.
Coming up, we have Kindness Week. We will be dressing up for each day of the week in creating a kindness wall. There will be a different kindness challenge every day of the week. There will also be a door decorating contest for all classes. We can't wait to finish planning these events and other future events at Johnson Park Elementary. Thank you for your time.
Good, very good. Actually, girls, could you come back up to the podium? Girls, can you come back up to the podium, please? Mr. Kovach, could you stand with them? Moms or dads, could you mind coming up here and maybe taking a picture of them back so you can see their faces with Mr. Kovach at the podium? I would have thought about it. We would have had you come up so you could did the whole thing up here, but sorry.
You just want to poke out a little bit? Come on out just a little bit so you can see you. The podium's hiding you.
You're terrific.
There you go.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good job. Thank you. And those are just two of some of the awesome kids we have at Johnson Park. There's some really cool stuff happening. I mean, kids are happy, and that's one of the best sounds to my ears is walking in a playground and hearing laughing children. And we hear that all the time. I'm so proud. I'm so happy. Moving forward, this is some of our school culture activities. On the top left, you see a group of teachers and sixth graders posing. That's because we just got done whooping up on the sixth grader in a little kickball versus staff. It was sixth grade versus staff kickball game. Sixth grade thought they had it, and it would be like 50-5 or something. We took it to them. They want to play us again. We'll see how that goes. And then we had our Veterans Day celebration in the fall. That's one of my proud moments. I have been doing this Veterans celebration for 10 years, the last 10 years of my career, wherever I go. And it is always a huge success. And there's not many dry eyes in the house when this Veterans Day celebration occurs. So everyone is invited for next year's Veterans Day as well. At the bottom in the middle, you see a picture from our color front run. And I believe that's Mr. Rivas dressed as the T-Rex. Isn't that Miss Hugh?
Yeah.
He was the T-Rex. And then we had Mr. Gag who did the sumo costume. And Mr. McKenna's with him in a group picture. And that's really a fun day. We love the color run. And it raises a good amount of money for our school. Next up, we were able to hire one of our new teachers this year is this awesome music teacher, Mrs. Turner. She came from Texas, and she is amazing. She's changing the world of music. So she wanted me to include this for her. I'm going to read it out. In music, we integrate technology, cooperative skills, and social skills into our lessons to provide every student with a well-rounded education. And me being a former music teacher, I love this. Music helps kids perform better in academics across the board. It teaches them cooperative learning skills, teamwork, and what hard work and dedication is. Because when you want to be a performer, you have to know all those things and do them well. Is that right? For musicians over here? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You got to be dedicated and we're hardworking. So Johnson Park, while our young students, they're singing a new musical. We're putting on a musical on, I think it's March 17th, or no, it's March 19th, Stone Soup, a rock opera. Our older students are learning how to play pianos using modern band methodology. This is, you're going to see a video here after only 3 days of practice. So our younger kids are going to be singing, and then our older kids playing piano. I'm just excited to see them playing piano. So let me go, see if I can get this started. Here's some of our sixth graders playing piano, only after 3 days of working. I think he got lost.
All right.
So after 3 days, I think they're doing a pretty good job at learning their chords and showing their progression. So for them, it's super exciting. And that's it for our slideshow. So I'm really proud of what's happening at the school. That's in the classroom, on the playgrounds. Our librarian is amazing. Our staff members are awesome. And we have some really good stuff going on. And I'm proud to be there. Do you have any questions for me or any of our teachers or anybody that are here? Thank you.
Mr. Allison, can you please turn your microphone on?
The button, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. So, but anyways, I'm really, really glad what you're doing, and I love your enthusiasm. I have just one question I'm trying to understand. Like, okay, Lexi, I think I remember it going through here. Is that like AR, or is the whole thing, like, on the computer and they read?
It's on the computer. Lexi is on the computer, and they start the program with an assessment. The assessment level puts them at their current reading level. And
it from is, STAR?
No, it's Lexi has its okay. own assessment. STAR is a different assessment.
Right.
Using multiple media to assess kids is important because you get a different cross-layer of how the kids are doing. Lexi assigns them a point in the program. They can do it independently at school, or they can do it at home as well. I didn't mention that.
Okay.
So it's something they can take home and practice. And it asks them questions about the text that they're reading specific for the comprehension piece. When they make a mistake, the program will intervene and add a lesson and go, oh, we're going to take a step down. When they're answering well, it says, oh, you're understanding, you're getting the questions right, we're going to make this a little gradually more difficult. The program also notifies teachers if there's students that are having difficulties, and it will shoot them the lessons that that student might need specifically. The teachers can print out the lesson and provide intervention based on that need.
When the kids answer the questions for comprehension, are they multiple choice, or do they actually respond?
Typically, they're multiple choice okay. or true and false.
Okay. Hey, thank you. You're doing great.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good presentation.
Thank you.
You know I live in front of Johnson Park, and the kids yeah. know I live there, and they're always wanting to sell me stuff. And I always ask them, how's your school? And they always give me positive about your school. I went to your spaghetti feed.
Yeah,
and I
thank
saw
you.
The excitement in the air with the kids, the community over there. You had a lot of involvement.
Yeah.
And I saw some of your staff there. One of them I would like to mention is I'm very proud of, came from our district office, Tina Lovell, who is now teaching at Johnson Park. It always makes me proud to see a classified that goes to a certificated, because that's how I started with this district. And several have done that, and she is, mm-hmm. the kids really respect her. I've been through the classes in there, and I've heard a lot of good. And so, Tina, you're doing a great job as the other sixth grade and the other teachers at Johnson Park.
Yeah, we're happy to have all these teachers, and I'm proud of Tina for coming down, and I know she's doing a great job in her classroom. Yes. Thank you.
It is really great to see music back in our schools. It was 3-4 years ago that board at the time were really behind. In fact, the Exchange Club donated violins. Excuse me, Frank Sorgi from the Exchange Club, and that brought in music to Kynock, and then it stretched out all around the whole school district, and now I see we have full-time music teachers, and I'm really, really happy that it's, for in 4 years, it's really grown to this, and seeing the kids play the piano and everything, it's really, really super. Well done. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
I'd just like to say thank you to Mr. Kovach for all that you're doing, and your teachers and staff. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we have an amazing staff. I want to thank the staff here tonight for coming and showing your support and doing a presentation. I'm proud of you guys and proud to be working with you every day. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good job.
Next, we have comments from board members. Ms. Scott?
I would first like to say thank you all so very much for coming out in the bad weather to coming to share and be here in our board meeting with us tonight. I would also like to say that I had an opportunity to go on a field trip with small business to Chico State. And I would just like to say that they're doing great things inside of our school and on the outside in our community. And thank you very much.
Mr. Davis.
Yeah, the main thing I wanted to mention was I had a chance to attend the Congressman Garamendi's public meeting, and with the intent to talk about our Marysville auditorium, but the group there overfilled the room, so I didn't get a chance to chat with them, but I did mention it to one of his staff. And I'm hoping when we get more information about, you know, what needs to be done with the Marysville Auditorium, we can sit down with his staff to see what kind of funding they may be able to lend to the effort. Thank you.
Mr. Allison, Mr. Boehm, Mr. Fleury.
Yeah, when Congressman Garamendi was here that same morning, I was unable to attend. We had a flag ceremony out at Edgewater. The Lions Club, of which I'm a member, put on a flag ceremony, and the entire school was there. We had veterans that stood there, and they showed the kids, all of the kids in the school, what the flag meant, how they folded it, how it went on a casket, what each fold in the flag was. They gave each one of the kids in the school an item of what they talked about so they could take home, and each one of the kids got a flag. And the Lions Club mentioned and wanted me to bring it to the attention of the board just how well behaved they were at Edgewater. They were just really impressed with the behavior, because we had been in several schools the past several years, but they just really wanted it. The other schools were well behaved, but they said Edgewater really stood out for the behavior and how well respected those kids were. And I was wondering just how many other schools we have that do patriotic ceremonies like that. I know Kovalad does, Arboga does, several of them do.
Johnson Park.
Johnson Park does, of course. But I hope all of our schools are doing that, because we're living in a time kids need to understand that we need to work together and we need to be proud of our country, and they did a great job. Also, we had the Lyndhurst Awards ceremony we went to that board members were invited to, and our business manager went, Mike, and it was a red carpet affair. They had their red carpet there. They had people taking pictures. They really highlighted the academics, and it was put on by the students. It was very, very great thing that they had put on. And then also Thursday night, we're going to be honoring one of our administrators who is really, I live in that community again, and he is known in the community as a true leader at South Lyndhurst, as David Jones will be honored this Thursday night. So thank you.
Mr. Crawford.
Yes, I had mentioned just a few minutes ago how the Exchange Club 3 or 4 years ago donated the violins and continued to donate money and even sought out a halftime teacher to begin with. You remember that, Mr. Fleury, and it got the whole music in our schools back and rolling. And a lot of times we don't really recognize what some of these service clubs do. I had the privilege last Friday at 9 in the morning at Kynock. I was on a campus and a recology truck pulled up and literally dumped a whole dump truck full of basketballs and soccers and soccer balls and kickballs. And they do that every year. And too many times it goes unnoticed. So that's Marysville Kiwanis, police organizations, probation, the Exchange Club, many, many more that I fail to mention now, but they usually contact me and it's always a go ahead. And I just wanted to make sure they got recognized. It's amazing. And the Kiwanis Club does this every year. It wasn't just a surprise. They do it every year. They do it for Kynock. Kynock expects it. And they don't run out of basketballs and soccer balls, I'm sure. Thank you.
Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Units. Public comments. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes. Per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board, bylaw 9323. I see we have no public comments. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Dr. Starkey.
Thank you very much. Tonight, we have a special treat for the board and our audience tonight. We have Zenobia Brown, our extraordinary teacher out at MCAA, who is here with some of her students from across the district to honor Black History Month through our students. And with that, Ms. Brown.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, and welcome to all of the persons in the audience. And Johnson Park is so good to hear about the music there. It excites me. Yes. So we're going to present a brief African American history celebration. We have done this since 2003 at Marysville Charter for the Arts, including the communities. And we are so happy, I'm happy to hear that the community auditorium may be back in existence. This is one is from 2010, when the celebration was two nights. The first night, Thursday the 25th at 6:30, included students from across students from all schools. The second night included students and our communities. So I'd love to have that back. We continued at Marysville Charter for the Arts, in spite of the auditorium not being able to use it again until 2017. And we only missed 1 year. So we're happy that the board has allowed us to begin again. And next year, we're going to try to continue. And I'm very, very happy that we have students representing our three high schools in the district. So tonight, we're going to present from Marysville High School, Carter G. Woodson, the Father of Black History, read by Jabari Pittman and the Marion Chambers. Then we have a dance by Fatera Sindris from Marysville Charter Academy of the Arts, 12th grader, gonna be leaving us. A solo by Kamari Williams, 12th grade, Lyndhurst High School. An essay from our academic decapolon participant from Lyndhurst High School, Samantha Ashford. And then we have our photographer tonight from Marysville High School, Gary Walker, who is also a senior. So next year, we hope to open up just a little bit wider in our South Odd that you're helping us to renovate now and include students from every school in the district. So get ready for that. So without any further ado, we'll have the students come before us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carter G. Woodson was born on December 19, 1875. He died on April 3rd, 1950. He was born in New Canton, Virginia, best known as the father of Black history. Carter Godwin Woodson founded the Journal of Negro History in 1916 and began Negro History Week. Later, Black History Month in 1926, earning him the nickname the father of Black history, the son of enslaved African Americans, Carter Woodson earned the undergraduate degrees of Kentucky Berea College in 1903. And at the University of Chicago in 1907, he also studied the Sorbonne, and he also studied at the Sorbonne in Paris. And after he earned a graduate degree at Chicago in 1908. He went on to earn his doctorate in history from Harvard University in 1912.
Carter Woodson began Negro History Week in 1926, designating a week in February because that month held birthdays for Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and Booker T. Washington. That went on to become Negro History Month and then Black History Month, designated as February each year by presidential proclamation. Carter G. Woodson's other books include A Century of Negro Migration, 1918, A History of the Negro Church and the Negro in Our History, 1922. Carter G. Woodson was the second African American to earn a PhD at Harvard. The first was W.E.B. Du Bois. Woodson served as an education administrator in the Philippines from 1904 to 1907. He launched the publication The Negro Bulletin in 1937 as a way to reach younger audiences. President Gerald Ford began the tradition of declaration February to be Black History Month in 1976.
Thank you. I would like to say if there is any other family members that would like to come up and take pictures or record, come on up front. And much better to see the front than the back.
No water in the water fountain. No sign on the sidewalk. If you say, oh my hell, what you doing there? Nothing much to do when you're going nowhere. Woo-ha, woo-ha, gotcha. We're gonna get the water from your house. No water in the water fountain. No wood in the wood stock. And you say, oh my hell.
start whenever I want.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. See the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look yourself, then make a change. Na 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 na.
Responsibility. The word responsibility has many definitions, but the one that I thought was most relatable to in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is as follows: liable to be called on to answer to. Throughout my life, I only dabbled in being responsible. My only greatest responsibilities were to wash dishes or finish an easy to moderate assignment at school. It wasn't until I entered high school when I truly learned what being responsible meant. As a high schooler, you have to be responsible for yourself, your work effort, behavior, etc. It all relies on you whether you're prepared or not, just like adulthood. I now completely understand this, but my freshman year was definitely a learning experience. That year felt like one of the toughest years of my life. Having all honors classes right out of the gate, I completely underestimated how crucial it was to not procrastinate. But to stay organized and be consistent with my work so I could earn A's in every single one of my classes. Like I said before, I hadn't completely learned this. So from the beginning of the school year, I procrastinated and watched plenty of YouTube videos instead of doing my math homework, downloaded and played many applications on my phone instead of applying my pencil strokes to my English paper, and watched my favorite TV shows instead of studying for my next test, and so on. Suddenly, in almost every class that wasn't easy for me, I had received bad grades. They were the absolute worst grades I had ever had. When my report card came in, I saw my grades, and so did my grandmother. My grandmother had asked what the excuse was for this. Now, being the blunt but truthful person I am, I told her what I had been doing instead of my work. She was, of course, dismayed and told me that I needed to be more responsible for myself. I thought about what she said and stared at the grades. I was responsible for the terrible grades I had received. The middle and ending of the school year were also very challenging, but I understood what I needed to do to be successful. I cut my extensive period of procrastination and completed my work. By this time, most of my classes began to implement group assignments. For these assignments, I became a reliable member of the group. I completed my work and helped my team members when I could. I was starting to become responsible, and my grades showed it as well. Now, as a sophomore, I have a way better understanding of responsibility and understand that only I can ensure my success in the future. Occasionally, I find myself slipping into my old habits of procrastination, and I see my grades suffer the fate from it. But from my trials and errors, I know how to handle these mistakes and come back stronger than I had before. My whole point of describing my narrative of how I became responsible to you was to show how being responsible for yourself is definitely important in life. Everyone in the world learns what responsibility is at one point or another, whether it's forced or natural, like my story. We have to master this at some point, but the success of mastering this task can only lead to a new understanding of reliability and knowing that only you can achieve this, no one but you.
I would also like to recognize our photographer, Gary. He is a senior at Marysville High School. We thought about video editing. He's in that class, but we didn't have the materials right now, so he took pictures of us, and I'm hoping he can take one of the board and our students who participated. Our last thing is to sing Lift Every Voice and Sing. We're only going to sing one verse of it. It's two on your program, but we're going to sing one verse of it due to time. Lift Every Voice and Sing is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. It is a song that was written as a poem by James Weldon Johnson, who lived in 1871 to 1938. In 1900, it was set to music by his brother, John Rosamond Johnson. Lift Every Voice and Sing was publicly performed first as a poem as part of a celebration of Abraham Lincoln's birthday in Florida by the Johnson brothers, and it became known as the Negro National Anthem. For many of us now, it's a Negro national hymn. It's in every hymnal that we have. So if you don't mind, please stand and join us in singing one verse of Lift Every Voice and Sing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown, and thank you to all the students. Thank you very much. Any comments from?
And students, this is the time that if you need to go home and do homework, you can go.
You can follow the crowd. Thank you all for coming.
You're welcome to stay, but if you'd like to go, you may. Get that homework done. Next, I'd like to ask Jamie Larson to come down to the microphone. She has a handout to share with you on the homeless program.
Well, this was the perfect night to come and to celebrate, as it's been a whole evening full of celebrations. But I just wanted to put together some quick notes on the Homeless Education Program, this being February and the month of love. I just wanted to share some of the love that our community has extended to our Homeless Education Program. So I'm obviously not going to read all of this, but wanted to hit some highlights. Our Random Act of Kindness Program is a program where we would put like Friday Fun snack packs together and deliver those to homeless students in our district to kind of help with those food insecurities over the weekend. And a local farmers insurance agent, Maggie Capitano, has partnered with us for the last year and a half on this program. We have delivered over 2,200 bags, food bags, for homeless students. Unfortunately, the farmers program has expired, but I certainly wanted the board to realize everything that she has done for our homeless students. And then many of you have come and participated with us on our Breakfast with Santa over the years, but that is another great example of a community partnership. The Agents of Change through Yuba County stepped up and brought a whole team of folks with them, and we really are able to provide a very nice Christmas for our homeless students. I know Kiwanis has been brought up a couple of times this evening, and Kiwanis also supports our homeless education program every year. About 4 years ago, when Angie Gates was the president, she picked the homeless education clothing closet as her president's project, and the whole entire club got behind it and said, this is something that we want to help contribute to every year. So that has been ongoing since then. And then one last organization is the Warmest Soul organization that was developed, born by a local lady who has since moved out of the community but still close in Lincoln, who has given over 400 pairs of shoes to our homeless program over the last 4 years. And then the one last thing that I did want to mention, I'm not sure if we have had an opportunity to talk about the Yuba County Displaced Youth Multidisciplinary Team, but that was a group that came together probably, 3 years ago, Jolie? We started trying to put an MOU together to really allow a collective group of agencies in Yuba County to come together and address homeless issues. So on behalf of the Displaced Youth Multidisciplinary Team, our office wrote a grant recently where we're partnering with a faith-based fiscal agent to allow us to do some incentive-based types of housing, really unique programs to really develop our housing that we're able to provide. As you know, we're really limited. When Johnson Park was calling a month ago saying, hey, look, I have a family whose electricity has been turned off, attendance has really dropped. That's just not been something in the past that we have been able to help with. But through this competitive grant, $139,000 we were just awarded through the Sutter Yuba Homeless Consortium, we'll now be able to step up and to help with some of those things that we just haven't been able to do in the past. So another great success that I'm really happy to share with this group. And Jolie participates on that committee. Amanda Book, our homeless advocate, does. So from the attendance office through the advocacy through the homeless department, we really have great inroads to be able to represent those needs of our kids that are really living with some housing insecurities, and hopefully now we have a way to help address some of those things as well. So thank you for letting me pop into the agenda this evening, and I just wanted to share some great things with our homeless education program.
Well, before you leave, you've been doing this quite a long time. I know that because I was teaching, that was a little bit ago. And I remember Donna Cummings and Ann Watkins brought some students who weren't attending regularly. They usually ended up with me. And it was Ann that said, they're homeless. And I go, how do you know they're homeless? And besides smelling the campfire on their clothes, and And that was the first indicator. Great bunch of kids, but I also remember, I go, wow, I didn't even know this existed. And they sent me down to your office, and you supplied each and every one of these kids with a backpack, with a toothbrush, and pencils, and I just thought that was so cool that you did that. And that was, that, what, 10, 11 years ago?
Anyway, yeah.
I was a lot taller then. Had a little more hair, but yeah, I want to thank you again. And,
absolutely.
That was very nice, and I'm glad you're continuing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
And one last thing is I'd like to thank John, Joe, and Rich for being at Cabinet the last 2 months and for coming to our board meetings. Sad to say they won't be back next meeting. They'll have three other folks sitting there in those chairs. So their turn is up, but thank you very much for your contributions.
Yeah, you guys are going, all right. Three newbies.
Next on the agenda, we have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of February 12, 2019. If there's no additions or deletions, we'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford, second by Mr. Allison. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? 7 yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that board members would like to have pulled? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? 7 yes. Going on to new business, Board of Trustees. Vote for a CSBA Delegate Assembly, Subregion 4-C. The purpose of the agenda item is to allow the board to nominate a representative for the CSBA Delegate Subregion 4-C for a 2-year term. The board has the opportunity to vote for a CSBA Delegate from our Subregion 4-C. The board has 3 options. One, to vote for the nominated candidate, Sylvia Vaca from Williams Unified School District. 2, vote for a write-in candidate, or 3, not to submit a ballot. Is there a motion from the board?
Yeah, motion to accept board's recommendation. No?
Yes.
Okay.
So is that we would like to vote for the nominated candidate?
Or was I supposed to nominate? I was in reference.
So it looks like we have 3 options that we could do there. Which one of the options would you like to do?
I would like to nominate Mr. Fleury. That would be number 1.
I'm already on there. I don't know this lady, but I read her resume.
Okay.
Can you turn on your microphone? Thank you.
I don't know her, but I do sit on CSBA, and I read her nomination from Williams, and I think she would be a good one. She's really an advocate over there.
So this isn't.
I'm got a term until 2020. That's my I'm in my fifth term.
I will amend. I apologize.
So let me back up again. It looks like we have 1 of 3 options. We can either vote for Ms. Silva or Sylvia Vaca, or we can write a candidate in, or we can not submit a ballot at all. So it seems to me that's where the motion would need to come from, 1 of those 3 options.
Well, then I would like to amend. Oops, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Make the motion that we vote for the nominated candidate, Sylvia Vaca, from Williams Unified School District.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Boom. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 7 yes. Motion carries. Educational services. Number 1, low performing students block grant plan. District. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board adopt the low-performing students block grant plan for the district.
Good evening. Hi. This grant actually provides money for students that are not represented in our unduplicated count under the LCFF funds. Those groups that usually are represented under LCFF are EL, foster youth, and our free and reduced program meal students, or special ed. So this money is coming in for students that don't represent any of those subgroups. and that did not perform well on the CASP assessment in 2016-17. Quite a few of those students are no longer with us because they've moved on and graduated or gone on their way past our school district, have moved past 12th grade. And so the district is allowed to use the funding for other students in that count. We're encouraged to tie it directly to our LCAP, and that's exactly what we did. We used the three goals from our LCAP, the measures, as well as what the expectations are out of our LCAP for that group of students. And so I'm not sure how this one's working tonight. I'm bringing forward the one for Marysville Joint Unified School District, which is in the amount of around $300,000. And then also, I think the next item that you guys are going to look at is charter schools as well.
Thank you, Ms. Tate.
Thank you.
Is there a motion?
Motion to approve the block grant.
We have a motion by Mr. Boom to approve the block grant. Second by Mr. Allison. Is there any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes, 7 yes. Number two, low performing student block grant plan for MCAA. As Ms. Tate said, it's the same program for our MCAA program. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve low performing students block grant plan.
Motion by Mr. Crawford, is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 7 yes, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Personnel Services, number one, 2018-19, initial bargaining proposal from the Marysville Joint Unified School District to the MUTA. Hold a public hearing. We now have opened the public hearing. Do we have any discussion? If there's no discussion, we'll need a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close. No, I'll yield. Go ahead, Mr. Davis.
Motion by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 7 yes. Number two, resolution 2018-19/22, the elimination of classified staff due to elimination of particular kinds of services. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution entitled Elimination of Classified Staff due to Elimination of Particular Services, Kinds of Services, PKS. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Crawford, second by Mr. Fleury. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 7 yes, motion carries. Next we have purchasing department. Number one, the bid award, Marysville High School Ag Mechanics classroom equipment. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the Marysville High School Ag Mechanics classroom equipment, RFP number 19-1019. Is there any discussion?
Mr. President, my only concern would be that there was only one bid that I guess was turned in. Could we elaborate on that? Did we seek more bids?
We went out for bids through the normal process, and we only had one that submitted, and so we have okay, the single
so
bid.
It's not the low or the high, it's the only.
It is the only bid that we received. We feel pretty good about it. It was a very long, detailed bid with some very specific requirements, and MJD, who is also part of our whole formulation along the way, how we're going to configure these things and the like, they were in a good position in order to bid on it. So I would have liked to have seen more. We went out to do everything we could to get more bids. We purposefully sent to other agencies, but only got one bid back. So this would be our choice.
Mr. Hodson, is MJB, they're from Yuba City, aren't they local?
I'm sorry?
Are they local? Aren't they from Yuba City?
They are. You guys are...
Yeah.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah, so it's great to see a local company get this job. So that was really good to see.
I didn't mean to make
thank you for stepping up for us. Yeah. It's going to be a great project for the kids, and mm-hmm. it'll really benefit our community. Thank you.
Any other discussion? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seven yes. Motion carries.
Congratulations.
Looks like that's it. Meeting adjourned.